I'm going to be reading from the scriptures of the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Tell you how that goes here in a second. Chapter 14 of John. And as I've mentioned to you before, that I read from the New Century Version. It is a more modern language from the original Greek, translated for kind of more conversational like that. So, by the way, I got my new eyeball in. You guys are my first test with my new eye. So if it happens to fall out while I'm preaching, you know, try not to step on it before I get it. My mom used to say, "I can't believe you say some of the stuff you say, Don." Jesus is in the 14th chapter here. He's getting ready to talk. He's talking to his followers, the apostles, and he tells them these words in chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust in me. There are many rooms in my Father's house. I would not tell you this if it were not true. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. After I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to Jesus, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, I am the what?
Way.
And the?
Truth.
And the?
Life.
You hear this all the time. Jesus says this, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. The only way to the Father is through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father too, but now you do know him and have seen him." Philip says to him, to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father. That is all we need." Jesus answered, "I have been with you a long time now. Do you still not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So why do you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you don't come from me, but the Father lives in me and does his own work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or believe because of the miracles I have done. I tell you the truth. Whoever believes in me will do the same things that I do. Those who believe will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And if you ask for anything in my name, I will do it for you so that the Father's glory will be shown through the Son. If you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it." This is a reading of God's Word for God's people. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. As I always like to say, let us be in an attitude of prayer. Oh, Lord, as we do our prayer here in the church beside the highway, we hear the sound of a siren. Someone's having a bad time. We ask, God, that you be with the EMS people. Be with whoever's in trouble, struggling, sick, whatever it may be. Be with them now, Lord. For us here in the sanctuary, in this holy ground here at Cedar Grove, we ask that you would be with us and that you would do a wonderful thing for us, Lord, and that is to unstop the ears of our soul. Help us to hear what you would have us to hear from you today. Hear us to hear your voice, Lord. Not my voice, but your voice, so we could hear your word and therefore know your will for the days of the remaining days of 2024 and what's going to happen, as Brenda says, in 2025. Help us, Lord. Ask your richest blessings upon this congregation, Lord, as they stand as sheep being led by your word into the future. Bless Robin, who comes to be the pastor. Your richest blessings upon their time together, that they may melt together and create ministries and just prepare to meet life with you, as Jesus said, and that there be new souls come out of the world and into the fellowship of this church. I ask, O God, would you help me to say what you would have me to say today in spite of myself, so that we all might be able to hear your word, drink deep from that living, that spring of living water, and let it just well up in us into true and genuine life. Let this all be to your glory, God. Let it be to your praise. We thank you, God, for everything. In Jesus' name we pray, and we all say, and we all say, amen. And we all say,
amen.
Don't fall asleep yet. I haven't started preaching yet. So, anyway, that's kind of a thought, is an interesting thought there about the text here, the scripture lesson that I have, because the scripture I have, if in a moments of your Bible study that you've had here to church, or what other preachers have said, or what you've done in your own personal devotions, you know that chapter 14 in John is towards the very end of Jesus' ministry, and he's preparing all the disciples for his departure. And there, Jesus is trying to say to them, I'm leaving, I'm going to a different place, and you can't go. And right before chapter 14, Jesus is having this bickering discussion time with Peter. And Peter says, well, why can't we go with you? And Jesus says, you are going to go with me, just right, not right now. And so they're confused, and Jesus is saying that they're going to go with him somewhere to this place, this spiritual place. It's not a location as much as it's a life that's going to happen to us someday when your and my skin and bone and blood stop working and we all die. But Jesus is trying to say, I'm going off and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And they're trying to figure, the disciples are trying to figure this out, and they're trying to figure it out. And Thomas says, we don't know where you're going. How are we going to know the way? And Jesus says those words that were so powerful in every church, every preacher's sermons, and in Sunday school literature, and in your own heart. And that is, Jesus says, I am the way, and I'm truth, and I am life. I kind of got this idea because I have a minister friend who lives up in the Fairmont area who sends to me a brief weekly devotion that he does. And he was talking this week an idea that one of the dynamics of this season of the year is that as Jesus arrives, One of the blessings that this child king brings with him and dispenses at the people who will inquire and investigate and think and ponder and meditate on who he is that he gives life. Zoe, the Greek word is zoe, life. I've known girls
several girls in my lifetime. Her name was Zoe. Life, you know. And so that is part of what I want to talk about today, is that as we go through this time of digesting with Jesus, we discover He's the way through life, this human existence that we're in. He's the way to life that is out there waiting for us to come to. Spiritual life beyond the grave. But a spiritual life that begins to take effect now and helps us live now as those who know they're on their way to spiritual life. So what Jesus is trying to say to people in this as He's finishing up His ministry is that He's coming and He is the way to life, the life. But to go back and jump into what Christmas time is. We just came through Christmas. We're just a couple days from the big event. You know, I was figuring it up. There's like 361 shopping days until the next Christmas. So y'all ought to get started fast and get ready. And you go through the summer and you'll do your Christmas shopping already. But we just went through the big day. And as we use the measuring stick of our avarice and our desire to have stuff, we kind of look at life. And it's kind of like this past Christmas, kind of like Ralphie on the Christmas Story, you know, before he finds the big box, you know. How was your Christmas? You know, I asked the people down at Vault Chapel this. How was your Christmas, you know? And it was like they all got lumps of coal. You know, and they were kind of like Ralphie before he got the box. You get everything you want, Ralphie? Oh, yeah, it's pretty good. Well, and the idea was, well, there's always Christmas next year, you know. But then, you know the story. You've watched this, I'm sure. Ralphie finds the box. And he opens it, and there he finds the Red Ryder BB gun. He is excited and he is just poof, overjoyed. And that's how some people's Christmases are. They're kind of like that. So they're excited. Some people's Christmases are good. But what I want to say is this, and that is a thing that just really, it saddens me, in that a lot of times we'll measure our ideas about Christmas by what we buy, get, receive, and give. We've seen charities and mission projects where we raise money for those who are somewhat less fortunate, for kids whose parents are in jail, things like that. And we devise these ideas of helping people, and we use this awful terminology that says, well, we want to give these kids a lot of gifts so they'll have a good Christmas. What you get for Christmas is not going to make you have a good Christmas. Because we know the thing that happens is that we all can have a good Christmas just because Jesus arrived. And the dynamic happens is that, yeah, it's fun to get stuff. You know, I got what I always wanted. And that was a little cup thing that heats my coffee cup besides my chair in the living room. I got a cup warmer. Woohoo! Life is good. You know, the dynamic happens is that's what I want us to think about in this Christmas time. Because if you think about this. Think about the Christmas cards you got, or the ones, that nice box of Christmas cards that are really pretty and have the nativity scene on them, that nice box of Christmas cards that you never sent because you never took time to write them out. And you think about those Christmas cards that have like the nativity scene. And or religious art of some sort. And they've got these pictures of the Bethlehem star, and it's shining down on the stable and where Jesus was born.
And you see the shepherds all kneeling with little lambs, and Jesus has got this glow around him, and you see all these dynamics. And as you do that, you begin to look, and all these forms of art and nativity scenes in churches and in people's front yards, and you begin to realize this really is a different season of the year. This season of the year is not really about Santa Claus. And you begin to meditate on that little baby in the church or in the manger. He's born. Jesus really born in a barn. And his first bed was a feeding trough for animals. And you begin to understand that God sent the anointed one. Like my last sermon here is telling you about sending the anointed one. God was going to send the anointed one. God did send the anointed one. He has arrived. And as I look and study and meditate on these different Christmas cards, the view of the nativity and art, sacred art, and cantatas in churches, and all the magnificence of this season of the year revolving around the birth of the Christ child. What am I going to get? And I understand the birth of Jesus is the manifestation. And this is what I want you to grasp hold of. This is the manifestation of how passionately God loves you. The birth of the Christ child, sent to the world, not as some big warrior, high priest, king. He was sent as a really financially struggling family who were just common laborers. And he was born in a stable with a bunch of animals. And God is showing to the world this anointed one, this Messiah, this Christ is for everyone. Amen? Amen? Are you following me? The Christ is for everyone, not just the politically powerful who live in Washington, D.C. and state capitals, not just for the high class, very wealthy, rich people who make more in 1 year. Or make more in one morning than you make in a year. Not those kind of people. The anointed one is for everybody. And you study this and you begin to realize. This is what came out of what I was reading for the scriptures. I began to realize how passionately God loves every one of us. Amen? Say that. God loves me. Say it again. God loves me.
God loves me.
God wants we humans to be able to genuinely know that God loves us. Paul picks up on the scripture in other places where he says God is so intimately involved in our lives that he knows how many hairs are on our head. He knows what the days of our life are before we ever live them. He knows what we're going to say before we ever say it. So God already knows what you're going to say about this sermon once it's done. Be careful. So the thing happens is that's how closely God is with you. And God wants us, remember what Jesus said there in Matthew 14, trust in God. Trust in me. So God wants us to trust that He really does love me. And here's the neat thing. You know what it said, what Jesus said in the message to the apostles? I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Jesus starts infiltrating our lives. Jesus starts giving us life when He's still in the cradle. at Christmas time. That spiritual life is what Jesus is meaning, where he's going. He's going off to where people go when they die, where their souls are. Jesus is going there, and it's a life. It's a life that is unbelievably, unimaginably peaceful and restful and nice and forever in communion with God. Jesus, as the baby, starts giving us that life once we meditate on who he is and understand who he is. He's God come to earth. And he is God. He's the anointed one has come to earth because God has given earth the anointed one, because he loves us. And so out of that understanding that we're loved by God, life begins to happen. So what's a life do? What I'd like for you to think about is that when you begin to have this life, it's shows up. You all know, a lot of you know, I'm sure, Christopher Robin and stuff like that. I was in a ministry, active ministry, for 39 years. And I've been in a lot of churches, and I'm telling you, folks, as I look around and wandered and ministered to a lot of different people, some people in churches were like Eeyore and Christopher Robin. You know the donkey? The donkey had the pin on tail. Eeyore just never had a happy day in his life. Some people are like that. Some people just, even they come to church and they just don't have any life. They don't have any power of overcoming life struggles. They don't have joy. What I want to think about is this. Baby Jesus now gives us life. He's giving us life. He's giving you life. And that life that is manifest into us because of God's love, that life is going to take shape in praising. Live a life of praise to God. When you go to the grocery store and you're walking down through the store and the aisles and you're picking up celery and Campbell's soup, live a life of praise so that people can feel this ambiance, this spiritual life that is in you. Live a life wherever you go to work, whatever you're going to do, shop, go to the women's group, whatever it may be. Live as people of praise and live as a person of thanksgiving, of thanks. I know sometimes it gets pretty hard to thank God for what you got and what's happening to you. Ugh. You know, it gets rough sometimes. But no matter what happens, Jesus says, my grace is all sufficient. Our souls are saved. We're on the way to heaven. Amen? As I said, I can tell you're not Pentecostals. Y'all would have said amen at one time. We're on the way to heaven. Jesus says, those who live and believe in me will never die. We're never going to die. We're going to change, but we're never going to die. We're going to live. The spiritual life is in us to a degree that our spirit, our soul is going to move off into life eternal. So what I want you to think about is Jesus is the baby that brings us life. And the Jesus talked about it, you know, when he was saying goodbye, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, that life that Jesus talked about then is, he gave that. He started giving that to us when we were children, or when he was a child. And now Christmas is good, even if you didn't get your BB rifle. Christmas is good, and it happened, and now we're full of life, getting more full of life every day as we meditate more on the Christ child. So what I'd like for you to think about is that this baby that we celebrate, he's giving you life, God is offering you life through this child's presence right now. God is trying to show how much He loves you, passionately loves you, by giving us the child. And it's an important thing to let be a part of us, because life that God is offering us through Jesus, life will give this congregation vitality and meaning and energy. You'll start saying amen. You'll start really just enjoying being together as you already do. It's going to govern how you do your ministries. This life that comes from the Christ child, because God loves us, this life is going to swell up, well up, and be a part of who you are as you find your future. Let this Christ child give you life. Trust God, because the Scripture says, if God is for you, what? Who can be against you? God is for you all as a congregation and your future. And nothing's going to stop you, because God is for you. Because God loves you. God cares for you. God is for you. And God's going to be your helper. God's going to give you life. Amen? God, we give you thanks for letting us be together, because as we come together, we find life in the Christmas message, in a Christmas child. We find life. He's giving us life as we watch Him in the manger. Jesus is giving us life. And it just helps us understand, genuinely understand, how much You love us. How much You love us as a family. How much You love us as an individual person. And how much You love us as churches. Love on this congregation, Lord. Love on this congregation here at Cedar Grove with Your Holy Spirit. Love on them, Lord, as they become to trust You do love them. Love on them, Lord, with Your Holy Spirit, and guide them through their days with fruitful ministries. And may they have a lot of covered dish dinners. We give You thanks, God, for this church. In Jesus' name we pray. And we all say,
amen.
Amen.